This is CliffCentral.com.
Melinda Bam.
Hello, Gareth.
You are still the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Oh, what do you want?
No. aren't you sick of it? I mean, yeah. I honestly, I see a lot of good-looking people. I try my best to keep it that way. I mean, I want to always be. I always want to be the ugliest person in the room. And I thought, you know, we'd come in here and I'd start this in a very civilized way and to ask you how you've been and everything. But you just, you walk in and I, boom, it just hits you. It's like a wall of beauty.
I'm glad. I'm glad I can still do that. Like,
yes.
We've known each other this year for 10 years. Do you know that?
God.
10 years. You saw me when I was still pre-Miss
Essay, not a wrinkle,
pre-everything.
Not a single ounce of fat. I mean, I bet you that you don't even have any cellulite on your legs.
I don't at this point.
Damn right you
but
don't.
But I have had in the past.
Never.
And then someone told me, why is your butt smiling?
Oh, no.
I was like, what?
Did you get a complex?
No. I do like to train, but you know this.
Yes.
And because coming from someone with the size calves that you have.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's all I've got.
I'm sure they're still intact.
Thank you for noticing. I feel like Donkey in the Shrek movie. Thank you, Princess Fiona.
No, but I mean, I do like training. So sometimes I put in more effort. Other times I take it a little bit more easy. So yeah.
All right. We get back to this because I didn't get you here just to look at you. There's so much to talk about. And you really have done amazing things since you became Miss South Africa and all of the stuff that everybody knows from the past.
Mm.
So I want to get into some of that. You're married. I want to find out how you fill your day, what you're busy with. I follow you on Instagram, as do how many 100,000 people in this country?
I don't know.
Lots.
Yeah, lots.
Anyway.
That's good.
So, first of all, let's just let everybody know, you and I got drunk one night.
You got drunk. I kept you safe.
How dare you? In Jeffreys Bay, and we walked into a convenience store.
Yes.
You were well-behaved.
I'm always well-behaved,
Gareth.
But
me and whoever else was there, we were throwing stuff around.
You were throwing loaves of bread.
Yeah.
That I can recall.
And you were laughing a lot, even though you knew it was wrong.
If Insta stories existed at that time...
We would have been arrested.
We would have been arrested. Well, probably you. No one's going to arrest the sober, cute blonde girl.
Yeah, but you know what? You're a fun human being. You're not this prissy, boring... beauty queen who's always trying to make everybody love her. You really aren't. You're a fun person.
Thanks, Gary.
That's why I'm telling this story, not to embarrass you.
I know.
Like you're a regular girl. Like you actually do normal stuff.
Yeah. You know what? And I think that's sometimes something that people don't see. They always see you on the cover of a magazine, or they hear an interview, or they see a TV interview, and everything seems very scripted and rehearsed, or everything has a certain... Yeah, disingenuous. And people don't resonate to that. I mean, we're way past the point where people all want to envy a Kim Kardashian or someone who has her whole life scripted, always looks perfect, never has a dull moment. Okay, well, she's let that go a little bit.
The sex tape. I mean, that's how we know about her.
But even that was perfect. So, I mean, so people want to see imperfect people that makes us feel human, and that's what people gravitate to.
But we also want to see... And if you ask any guy in South Africa, you know, for the last 10 years, who's one of the most beautiful girls in South Africa? I know, because we often have these discussions as guys. Like, who's the hottest girl in the whole country? And then your name inevitably comes up. So you are about as close to perfect as it gets when it comes to that. But it's nice to know that you got some rough edges as well.
Of course. And that makes me human.
Do you do dumb things? Do you ever have done anything really stupid?
Well, yeah, this year I'm going to start filming my second show or my second season of Bishop Bobby. And it's a show where we challenge women to do things completely out of the ordinary. So last year, I really had my fair share of doing all sorts of crazy things.
But you've done Fro Fierce, you did Pasela.
Yes.
Visio Poppy, which I've seen the ads for. I haven't watched it yet, which is my fault. I'm sorry. I only discovered Via the other day.
That's okay. Don't worry.
I didn't know it existed.
That's all right.
You've hosted the SA Style Awards. You've just been to Paris on holiday, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Wow.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Now, all right, let's start with, and there's Tropic Island of Treasure
coming
in the Maldives,
up.
Which is coming up soon. So are you promoting that at the moment?
Yes, we are. We've actually got our launch this coming week. Right. And it's very exciting because we kind of already know the bits and bobs, and we've had to try and contain our excitement.
And you can't say who leaves first.
No, none of that. But I mean, having to keep everything kind of hush-hush and knowing how things play out is quite exciting. But also, I'm really looking forward to the launch, because then for the first time I can actually say something about anything.
Is it a scripted, because I can't remember if it's like Survivor Lite. It's glamorous Survivor.
You know what is the best way to describe it? It's like a 5-star Survivor.
Yeah.
Because we eat nicely and we stay in the most amazing luxurious accommodation, but we do all the challenges and all the,
things. What are the criteria? Because I see Tumi Foster's on it, Brendan Paper, Katlego Maboy. These are celebrities.
Yeah,
you can't be an ordinary person and get onto this show.
Yes, you can, of course.
No.
So we've had we have our 7 celebrity contestants, and then we have 7 contestants from the public who
have to hang around with these plebs.
What do you mean, plebs?
You have
that
to eat
such
dinner
a terrible
with,
word.
You have to eat dinner with them and talk to them and stuff.
Gary, that's a terrible word. But you know what? They could enter and to become your teammates. So the great thing is it brings a different kind of dynamic, because as soon as you surround yourself with people who don't know the industry, who don't have 5 million Insta stories a day.
Aren't on camera all the time.
Aren't on camera. It kind of disarms the whole situation and the whole, oh, I'm a celebrity, I'm also important. It kind of just makes it a little bit more real. And that was
Where did you go?
It was filmed in the Maldives.
Wow, not bad.
Yes, I kind of have to just admit that I've been approached to do Tropica twice before, and my schedule never allowed it, and I think I held out for the very best episode, because the Maldives is everything.
Well, first of all, that place is not going to exist if the oceans keep rising.
I know.
So that's going to be very sad, because all those people in the Maldives, they'll just drown. And
horrible.
And the resorts there are spectacular, like world class in every way. There are people from all over the world who go there because it's the most beautiful place on earth.
It is. God really took his time when he painted the ocean there, because it is
so many colors.
It's absolutely incredible. We went there on honeymoon.
Yes, so you've been before.
So we have been before, and then Arjan turned 30 last year, and I took him there for his 30th. And it's just the most amazing place to kind of escape the city and the buzz of things, and lock away your phones and just chill. And
so what do you do there all day? You sunning yourself? Are you in the water?
We've got nice taste when it comes to accommodation, because we like to keep to ourselves. So we've got a beautiful villa there with our own little pool, and everything is out on the ocean. Right. So we kind of went to the rest of the island to have dinner and whatever. And the rest of the time we were chilling by the pool and going snorkeling naked.
Stop the clock. Snorkeling naked?
Yes, because you're completely secluded and there's no one around.
It was just you?
Just me and Adrian, yeah.
Oh,
it's just... Okay. It is just absolutely
you two snorkel
incredible.
Naked, huh?
Yes, we do.
You sure we didn't get any pictures of that?
Actually, there
That's
is
a reason
one.
To watch this.
Actually, there is one.
And is Arjun it on your Instagram?
No, Arjun posted it on his Instagram.
Jesus
it was his
Christ, hang on a second.
It was his. It was his.
Hang on, I'm just trying
his
to look
30th
it up.
Birthday picture. It was him jumping from an infinity pool into the ocean.
That's him
in his birthday suit. Yes.
But now, where's you?
No, I'm not.
Adrian, there
no,
he is.
Thank you very much.
Follow. Hang on a second. How long ago is this?
It was in May last year.
Oh, there he is. But it's him.
Yes, still.
No, that's no good.
No, that's great
what
for
What a beautiful
me.
Ocean, though.
Yes, it was incredible. So, yes, I've got a very soft spot for Maldives. So when I heard it's Maldives, I was like, okay, yes, sign me up. Okay, when do we go? When do I pack my bags? What do I need to take? So, yes, it was absolutely incredible.
Do you get along with any of these other people on this Tropica Island of Treasure thing?
You know, I'm like world peace embodied.
No, but I mean, there's some people that you spend more time with, others that you kind of run out of things to say to on the third day. I don't know.
No, you know what? We are the most amazing group together, because we had a fantastic...
Who did you like the most?
The most.
Yeah.
Ney is really amazing. And then... Tumi and Kanya are just characters of a different kind. I love those two girls, but they were like sisters on the island.
They kept to themselves. They kind of caused a lot of trouble.
No.
No?
You know what was the most amazing thing? Is the one evening, we had dinner before all the challenges started. And we all sat around the table, and Tumi suggested everyone around the table takes a turn and says something positive about the person around. And that just kind of changed the whole atmosphere, because in the previous seasons, there were kind of...
fights.
There were fights, and it was like horrible, and it was like bad competition. Mm. Where now everything was, I don't know, there was the most amazing sense of camaraderie. If someone struggled at one challenge, everyone encouraged them, and that was really great. So,
well, you're in paradise as well. Why would you want to argue with each other, you know?
I don't know.
Make it work. So you were allowed to take your husband along?
No.
Oh, so you went on your own this time?
I went on my own.
So no naked snorkeling this time?
No naked snorkeling this time.
That's a pity. Well,
no.
All right, that's
none
the
of that. But
that's us finished for the day. Thanks so much, Melinda. It's been nice to see you.
See, Gareth.
Oh, man, come on. Here's the deal, though. This show, there's actually prize money up for grabs.
Yes, one million rand.
It's not a game.
No.
You're all doing this thing, but in the end, someone's got to win.
Yes.
All right, and we'll only know once it hits the air, which is on SABC3. It's coming up very, very soon.
Yes, it is the 5th of it is the 5th of February, and it'll be on SABC3 every Wednesday evening at 8:30.
Do you like doing TV?
I enjoy doing TV when it shows a different kind, a different side of me, and I think that's why I jumped at the opportunity of going onto Tropica, because people always see me in high heels and pretty dresses and all of that, where Tropica is going to show a very different side of me. Where,
but aren't you, I mean, did the idea for Visio Poppy come from you?
There was a production company that approached me with an idea.
I thought that's such a you thing. Like, it's so perfect for you. Because,
You know me, but yeah, the world out there sometimes don't see that side of me. So it's great.
Like so many people who are, you know, really good at what you're good at everything you do, but you tend to people guess things that aren't there.
Yes.
And they try to complete the stereotype in
yes.
some way. And it drives, I know it drives you crazy.
It does. And that's really the aim of the kind of things that I take on, especially with Visio Poppy and with Tropica now, is to kind of break down the stereotypes, but also not just do that around myself and me and Beauty Queen and whatever, but to get people to think differently about things. Because I've also been very, very guilty of attributing certain qualities to a said person and said job and all of that.
I think we all do it.
It's such a pity, because then you actually miss out on being surprised about people, and because you kind of judge them before you know them, so you wouldn't even take the time to get to know them because you've already kind of made up your mind.
Can I tell you, this happened to me on New Year's Eve. I was partying with this dude. We were having such a good time at this big party with a whole lot of other people. We were talking and laughing. We were laughing so much, having a lot of fun. Look, we were pretty inebriated at that point. And after about an hour and a half of partying with him, I said to him eventually, "What is your name? We didn't even. And what do you do?" And it was Ricky Rick the Rapper.
Really?
I had no idea. He didn't ask me about my work. We just got on like two people who were having a fun time.
Yes.
And then afterwards, I was like, well, you know, if I'd known he was, I might not have ended up being as friendly, because, you hear about rappers and you're like, these people are really different to me.
Yes.
They lead a very different life. He's in jets all over the place. He's wearing like gold chains. He's popping champagne bottles. It's not me. I wouldn't feel
And like, you put your guard up immediately.
If I knew.
Yeah.
But what's so nice is we were just having a good time and had the most awesome conversation.
Yeah.
So I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how, because I don't know if I met you before or after Miss South Africa.
Before.
I think it was before.
3 years before.
So Pretoria, small sort of, you know, neighborhood of people.
Yeah.
Everybody was having fun. At that stage, you were dating a different guy. When did you meet Adrian? When did you guys get together?
We actually met just before Miss South Africa, and we started dating about 2 months in.
Wow. And that was difficult, because you're not meant to have a boyfriend.
So we were dating for a whole year in secret, which was actually quite amazing, because a lot of people get to know each other in a public dynamic, in a social environment. So you get all of those factors that come into play, and this one's ex and that one's friend and this and that, where the two of us got to know each other either at home or at my mum's house. And
you really had to spend just time with each other. Yeah,
and
that's
very
cool.
That was really a great start to our relationship.
A lot of people think it was very cheesy, Miss South Africa, Mr. South Africa. I mean, I thought, when I heard it,
Buff.
I was like, come on. But I don't know him as well as I know you.
Yeah.
But you guys are so compatible.
Yeah. And I think the Miss South Africa and Mr. South Africa thing, that was just a technicality, because I think it's the one thing that allowed someone to really understand what I went through in my year and be able to be that kind of a support to me. But people often, they don't know about the fact that he actually saw me at varsity, when I was still a freshman, like fresh out of high school. He sat behind me a few benches in accounting class, and he said to his one friend, that's going to be his girlfriend one day. And that I only met him 4 years later.
I've got bad news for you. So did the rest of the class.
Yes, okay. But he's the one guy that was actually meant to say that. So I met him 4 years later.
So it wasn't like he was a creep waiting for you for 4 years. You both did your own thing, but he eventually... You met up where, and where did it start? Like, how did it all happen? Because it's so.
He
got it sounds like something you would that would be made up in Heschenuit magazine. I'm not. It does. So I
know,
need to,
but
I need
you
to
know
how
what?
These things actually happen.
You know what? I think nothing happens by coincidence. I think everything happens for a purpose. And the fact that he saw me then, he had a girlfriend at the time. I still had a. Was in a very long relationship at that time. And when he saw me, he decided, okay, well, he already knows what he wants. Why try for second best if he already knows what he wants? So he did wait for me for 4 years.
Wow.
And we met each other in yoga.
Wow.
At a yoga class.
Did he really enjoy yoga, or was he just going because you
He was just going because he got to know one of my friends while I was abroad, and that friend told him that I was doing yoga at this particular gym at this particular session. And then, yes, Arjun did the downward facing dog at 95Ks, and that was probably the funniest thing I've seen in my life. And it was history since. It was the funniest thing ever.
Wow. I mean, that's actually really romantic.
Yeah.
You couldn't, if it was someone who you weren't attracted to, you'd immediately think, what a creep.
I know, but I still,
To like follow
still
you around.
Still to this day.
No, but I mean, you know, for 4 years to find out from a friend, I mean, that's hard work. That's like dedication to the cause.
Yeah, but it's not like creepy, like following me home or stuff like that.
No, but if he looked like me, you would think he was a creep, is my point.
Or just a hopeless romantic.
All right.
See, I'm put together. Out of positivity and bubbles and whatever. So throw me a negative, I'll twist
you turn it into a positive.
A positive somehow and try not to see it like a creep and see it like Prince Charming.
No, sure. And like love for you is something you know immediately because you feel it, right?
Yeah.
So how long did it take for you to fall in love? Or was it almost an instant thing?
That first week of us spending time together. Because I wasn't going to like waste my time. So we literally sat on his couch in his apartment, and we had every single straightforward conversation that we could possibly have. Like our absolute goes, absolute don't goes, and like all the things that are important to us. And we realized we agree on everything that is like our core values. What is
no small talk.
Most
nothing,
important. No. Like
weather.
Straightforward.
Okay,
like
good.
Very, very straight to the point.
Right.
And both of us.
Right.
So we realized within the first week, listen, we agree on everything that is really important, the things that you build your life around. And everything else that we disagree on, that kind of makes life exciting. I don't want to marry myself.
Sure.
So... Yeah.
So are there any things that would have been a deal breaker? If he'd said to you, look, I love you, everything's perfect, but I'm a massive racist. Would that have been like...
Yes, of course. There are many deal breakers to me.
Yeah. If he'd said to you, I really don't want kids at all,
yes.
Would that have been a turn off?
Yeah.
If he'd said to you, I have no money.
No.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
You would have supported him?
Yes, of course.
Wow, you are.
But you know what? Okay, Gareth, but you know I'm a different kind of girl. Like I look at the principles and the character and things like that. Because regardless of where he is at the moment or where he was at that stage, I knew where he's going.
What if he had a big ugly beard? Would you say, look, you've
got
to get rid of the beard? You like his beard?
I die for the beard. Oh, love the beard.
Fat stomach?
No, he doesn't have that.
No, but if he did, would it be a deal breaker?
No.
Ugly feet.
I've got ugly feet, so that
you
would make me a hypocrite.
You do not have ugly feet.
Yes,
you do.
I do have got the worst.
Thank God there's something about you. Sia and I were talking earlier. We were saying, maybe she snores or something. It's got to be something. So it's the feet, huh?
It's the feet. No, it's
what's wrong with they? Are the toes all misshapen and crooked? And
it's high heels.
Oh, walking in high heels.
For 10 years.
Right. What does it do? It like gives you like those Japanese bound feet.
No.
Can I show me your feet?
No.
Let me see
no
your
way.
Feet.
No.
I'm coming around.
No, you can't see my feet. There is like literally no way. There is no way.
Covered her toes.
There is no way.
Why? Are your toes really revolting?
No, they're just not.
Is it your toenails?
No, it's just not in a good state.
Have you got corns?
No. Oh, you're terrible.
You got hairy toes?
No. Oh, my word.
Do they smell?
No.
come on, give me some. They sound like they're fine.
No, I've got a very short, stubby.
So you get a podiatrist.
I've got a very short, stubby big toe, which is actually perfect for high heels. And then all my other toes are like very, very long.
Oh, stop.
And I can drink tea with like a pinky in the air.
That you can do. So look, you can be very refined when you need to be, and you can also be just an gewone meisie when you need to be as well, right? So do you feel you turn it up for certain events and occasions? And who are those people that you're around when you feel you need to turn it up?
You know what? I think I should never be inconsistent in the person that I am. Mm-hmm. So So regardless that if I'm at an event and I need to turn it up and I have to play the role that is glamorous and fashion and all of that, then I do play more to that side of me because that is part of me. So if it's red carpet events, if it's hosting events, if I'm MC, I need to conduct myself in a professional manner and I can't make all the candid jokes that I would do.
Sure.
I think the great thing is that people are going to see like the other side of me during Tropica now. More than they've ever seen that side.
Like the relaxed.
The relaxed, the fun, the quirky, the like embarrassing myself and actually being really okay with it. And the competitive side, most certainly. And
so you got nothing to prove and nothing to lose.
Exactly.
People who like you will like you no matter what. Mm. And the people who don't will not like you no matter what.
But I beg to differ, though. Those. I think in a show like this, you have a lot to lose. Because it's a competitive environment, I always think that people's true colors come out in an environment like that. Because you're a little bit less censored. You say the things without thinking twice or three times about it. And you're not necessarily scripted under stress. So I think your true colors really do come to show. And if that doesn't speak of character and integrity, then yes, you do have a lot to lose. So that was really important to me in the show, to make sure that whatever I do, I still remain and keep my character and my integrity intact. And whatever else, I'm going to compete hard. And people need to see it for that.
You're competitive, right?
Yes, I would say
you're competitive and ambitious.
I'm a very competitive person and very ambitious person, yes.
Because I think...
Which are great attributes.
Absolutely. Yes. I don't think there's anything... Yeah. In fact, I think one of the very interesting interviews I listened to the other day was someone who was saying that the major reason why women are not more in the CEO sort of position in companies in South Africa and the world, it's not because of gender discrimination necessarily, although there is that. Mm. It's because there is this idea that once women are assertive, there's something almost wrong with them.
I think that's something
assertive, it's expected in society.
This conversation is my food, and that's really the most important thing to me. So outright, when we said we wanted our contestants for Tropica, I said I wanted a girl. Because if I can compete with a girl and show that women can be competitive, but we can actually be gentle about it as well. Mm-hmm. We can be assertive. We can be strong. We can be all of those things that are often associated with the corner bitch in the office. Mm. Because if men see, if people look at a successful gentleman riding or driving a sports car and having the corner office, people are going to say, oh, well, he's done really well. But if a woman takes that position, people say,
hardcore.
Or she must
bitch.
Have slept her way to the top, or she must have like really stepped on people. So it was a great
opportunity. It's changing.
It is changing, but we need to be consistent about the message that women can be assertive, and it shouldn't be something that you say more than it is something that you show wherever you go consistently, whether it is at home, whether it is on a show like Tropica, whether it is in an interview, or whether it's in private with a one-on-one conversation with a person. You have to live, eat, breathe that, because that's the only way women are actually going to be able to be taken seriously and show that.
Because you, as a kid, you would have either grown this confidence and this ability to understand how to assert yourself and all the rest of it. Mm. Did it come from your parents? Did it come from relationships? Did it come from yourself? Because you might have just figured it out by watching other people. How did you get to a point where you knew what you needed to do and it didn't bother you what other people said or thought if you were doing the right thing?
I think it was a slow process growing up because I had quite a difficult upbringing. My dad passed away when I was really young. So I had my mum and my sister for...
How old were you when your dad?
I was 11. And during that time, my mum and my sister were my absolute rock. And from there on, I realize there's something that's changed in me that looks at things differently. And I should stop actually seeing the difference that I, the different qualities that I have and the way that I think differently about things as a negative and try and change that, to try and fit back in and kind of regress with everything that I've learned and everything that I've gone through, and realize that that's something that's going to set me apart in the future. So that's where all of that started. And okay, my mum, as a strong woman, taught me to be assertive and to know that
your mother must be some kind of superhero, because to raise two girls is tough. Yeah. And there are a lot of women in this country who have raised the family because there are a lot of women who head the household, who are the single parent, all of that stuff. But it must be really traumatic. And I wonder, have you ever like been for therapy about losing your dad? Because at 11, yes, that must hurt like hell.
Yes, we went for therapy for probably about 4 years, which means I know all the psychological jargon and every kind of debate you can have about losing a parent or having a single-headed household. Luckily, my mom was very fortunate to meet an incredible man who today is my father, just as my biological dad was. So things did take a different turn for us, which I'm very blessed about.
Did you guys have money after your dad died?
No.
Nothing?
No, we it was a strange time, and you know what, I had to go for a lot of therapy to try and regain some of the memories, because I blacked everything out. But they robbed us on the day of my dad's funeral, so we literally were left with nothing. So that was
were at the funeral.
Yes,
they broke into your house and stole everything.
Yeah,
so you're dealing with that, and then you get home and you've got nothing left.
Yes, and that's, I think, in my life, I've learned the lesson time and time again that no one gets inspired by easy life. So don't try to aspire to have an easy life, because you have to have something that you've gone through, that you've built yourself back up from, that you've learned and taught yourself, that you've been able to overcome to inspire other people. Because you can't just say, "Oh, my life's been easy, my life's been perfect," and then think that other people might aspire to it, but it's not going to teach them how to get there. So I actually welcome difficulties in my life as some of the greatest life lessons that I've had to go through. Even in my Year's Miss essay, some of the times it was incredible and it was amazing. Other days it was some of the most difficult times I've had to go through in my life. But I welcome that, because that's refined me and changed me into the person I am today, which I won't change at all.
Tell me about your mom.
My mum is the most amazing woman. She is a gospel artist. My sister is also a stage performer. So I grew up in a, I wouldn't say a religious household. Yes, religious household, but like really a love for God and where we come from and really true to our values. And she's today a radio presenter in Cape Town at a Christian radio station. She's written two books. My sister, my mum, and I have also actually written a book together about the dynamics between mothers and daughters and how we sometimes like talk over each other's heads and don't really understand each other's perspective. So the book that my sister and I wrote, The Mums Read, and the book that my mum wrote, The Daughters Read. So we kind of have a way to see each other's...
It seems like you guys have got that golden zone, because a lot of mothers can't be friends with their daughters, and a lot of mothers try to be friends with their daughters and it's not appropriate. And it's sort of, there is a bit of an overlap.
Yeah, there is an overlap. My mum is one of the most amazing friends I could have in my life. And she knows the candid side of me and encourages that. And that's something that is often refreshing if I've got a tough time at work, or if I've had to play the role of posh and polished Melinda for too long, then it's
then
great.
She calls you in and says, "Hey, listen.
Listen, seriously, let down your hair, get your like panty out of a twist and just calm down for a bit." And my sister as well. So that's amazing to have people in your life that keep you grounded. And I think that's why, regardless of where we go in life and what else I might achieve in my career, if you meet me in another 10 years' time, it's still going to be the same kind of girl that's going to sit in front of you. So, yeah.
I can vouch for that already, since it's 10 years since we met.
Now, 10 years.
Interestingly, psychologically, for a girl who's, it's you, your mom, and your sister for most of your life. And then, you have this idea of women and what it means to be a woman and how you can get ahead and how you can believe in yourself, and that there isn't really an obstacle. You genuinely don't put things in your way.
No.
You clear things out of your way.
Yes.
But a lot of women who've had that kind of experience tend to look at men with some suspicion.
Mm.
And in particular, if you had, and I don't know if you had, but if you had been hurt along the way by men, or if there'd been men in your life that added to the suspicion.
Yeah.
Because you become quite self-reliant and you think of, I can do all of this myself. To then meet a guy and to end up married to a guy, he has to also be careful not to try and assume the alpha position and kind of push you to the side, which you'd never tolerate.
Mm.
And he has to at the same time be very accommodating so that you know it's okay to be soft and to be a girl and to cry and to he can understand.
Mm.
Like, that's a difficult dance to do.
Did
you guys battle for a while?
No, we didn't really, because I think a lot of women tend to take on a position and say, oh, they're feminist and they hate all things male and that's the position. It's all women and that's the only way that they'll succeed in life, if it's a woman at the top. And I don't want to be feminist, because ultimately I feel that there's a role for male and woman, man and woman, to actually play together. And
feminists look like me with a wig.
Exactly, and they burn their bras and whatever, and have not to generalize.
They have worse feet than you.
Horrible. That's horrible. But you know what? Like, I don't
have hooves.
I don't feel like. Sis, Gareth, that's not true.
We're busy dishing out
stereotypes, sis. But you know what? I'm not a feminist. I'm very comfortable with the role that I want to play as a woman, but I'm also very comfortable with the role that men have to play. And
sure.
And that's great for me. That's why
Listen,
I think it
you
wasn't
have to explain
different.
Yourself.
I know.
You're not a feminist.
I know.
You believe in
women
being
empowerment.
Equal to men.
Yes.
And sometimes superior. But that doesn't make you a feminist.
But there's other areas where men are superior,
sure.
And that's the way it should be.
Because I love this. This is sensible. This is like the balanced approach.
It
I can learn things
be.
From you. You can learn things from
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And that's why I think being two very strong-minded people in a marriage has worked for us, because I know there are certain things that aren't my strengths and are absolutely Adrian's strengths.
Yeah.
And we really kind of found a way to gel that. I know he's an impeccable businessman, so I'm not going to be hard-headed and think that I know everything about business. I'm going to consult him and make sure that I get his perspective on things as well. So I think that's also seen us achieve success a lot quicker.
Do you two want to have kids?
Yes, of course. But in another 3 years.
You've timed it exactly. You say 3 years.
No, we actually wanted to fall pregnant this year. And then we realized neither one of us are actually ready for it just yet. And I don't think, don't misunderstand me. I don't think there's a time in your life where you actually feel, okay, now I'm ready to have kids.
Everybody says there's no such thing.
No, there's no such thing as about a perfect time.
No.
I realize that, but we both have peace in our heart that it's not now.
Okay.
So we're both excited for
that's
that
very
phase.
Adult. That's very mature.
We're very excited about that phase and can't wait for that phase.
But you don't have to rush.
But we know it's not now.
How old are you now?
27.
Oh, no.
No, I'm lying. I'm 28.
Wow. The lie. There comes that bolt of lightning.
That's horrible.
All right, everybody. We know she's got bad feet and she lies.
See?
Just listen to that.
Oh.
Read them and weep.
I'm not attached to my age.
I think that it's very rare to meet people who go, well, you know what? We want to have kids, but now is not really the time. We can wait.
Yeah, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with it.
What would you prefer, a girl or a boy?
What if I get?
Really?
Yes. I would love to play dress up with a girl, but I would love to go quad biking with a boy. So I really don't care.
Okay.
I would be the most amazing boy mom and girl mom.
Would there be a limit on the number of kids?
I came from a family of two. Arjun's from a family of four. Three is a good compromise.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm.
So what is your
date? It would be a very big pity not to have Arjun's blue eyes like somewhere thrown out into the next generation's gene pool. So.
Okay. I think you've got to be equitable here. It's not like one side of this equation is going to have all the good genes.
No. I know.
There's a good combo.
But still.
All right. Now. What do you do daily routine? Is there a routine or is every day different? Give me a snapshot, like this morning. What time did you wake up? What's the first thing you do?
Okay. I woke up at 6, which was great for me because I've had a very difficult time adjusting to South African's time zone again.
How long were you away?
for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah, but it was great and well-deserved and much needed. Okay. But usually we wake up at around 6:30, 7:30.
Okay.
And then I wake up with a song in my heart and like jump out of bed and like ready for the day.
It's like a Disney movie.
Adrian takes
it's
about...
Like a Disney. It's like Disney. This is
Adrian beautiful. Takes about 45 minutes to an hour to just like open his eyes. So usually I leap out of bed and then go make breakfast and coffee and whatever. And then I bring him breakfast in bed.
God.
Yes, because I do that.
What did this man do in his previous life? What did he do?
And then we wake up
Get him
slowly.
In here. See, I want to speak to him next week. I want him in here explaining himself.
Then we wake up slowly. And then sometimes I go to gym and then I get ready for my morning's meetings. I try not to take meetings before 11, no meetings after 3.
Good.
So that I can actually not waste my time on the road and in traffic and make sure that I
Are we
book
very
our
particular
time.
About what we eat?
We're healthy. But I love chocolate and I love all the sweet things, but everything in moderation. I feel like we've like kind of found our golden mean in terms of health and team, in terms of being busy. And yeah, we've actually, it's actually in my handbag.
Like, is it difficult for you to, because I know a lot of people struggle with keeping in shape and training and all that stuff. Is it difficult or is it really, really easy?
I've been very fortunate that I've been blessed with great genes because everyone always says, oh no, I train 7 times a week and I work for this body. Yes, there's a lot for this body that I did work for, but also a lot that came very undeserving. So very grateful for that. But I do love training. And to me, it's not about looking a certain way. It's about feeling a certain way.
Right.
So I've really surpassed the thing about trying to fit myself in a size 6 and like measuring myself and weighing myself. If I feel good, then that's kind of the whole purpose of training to me. So I do all sorts of different things because I'm also a little bit ADHD when it comes to training.
So you said yoga. There's a little bit of...
What? Don't really do yoga anymore.
What kind of cardio?
I
mean, is there something that you do?
So
that
we
you love
cycle
right now?
And we run, and I used to run half marathons, and then I kind of got over it, and then we decided to cycle, and then we cycled from Sun City to Cape Town, then overdid it, and then kind of got over that. So we started boxing, and then I started doing functional training, and everything kind of took a very interesting shift just before Tropica because then I went hardcore because I wanted an all-girls team. I said I wanted to be strong because at one point in time, I might have to swim against Brendan Papert and then I cannot like breaststroke and doggy paddle my way and think I'm going to win.
Right.
So I trained really, really hard before Tropica. And it might be a little bit frightening because
you looked a bit butch?
I'll show you a picture. And there's going to be one particular magazine cover that's going to come out now in the next 2 months. And I look great and I look like an athlete, but I look like I've got a woolly stack of buns stuck under my
beautiful.
Skin on my tummy, which
that's
is...
That's beautiful. To be
yes,
able to switch that
on. But it's a bit much
on.
Sometimes.
Well, you switched it on. Now you're switching it off.
Now I'm switching it off again.
What an incredible ability.
Yeah. So I have to say, I prided myself on the fact that for the first time in my life, I could actually do pull-ups. So that was an incredible feat for me. But now
You do Miss World? What happened?
You know what? To me, it was a business decision. And I know my brand was better suited for Miss Universe.
Okay.
And not so much suited for Miss World. Miss World
you met
is-
Trump?
Yes, I did.
When did he say, oh, you're so beautiful, Melinda?
He actually spoke to me about golf.
I would love to meet you some more. Oh, really?
He actually spoke to me about golf because he's an avid golfer and this we know. And a lot of his mates are South African golfers, so he immediately spoke to me about that. And luckily, I know a lot about golf because Adrian is a golf fanatic.
You play together, though. You also
yes,
play
we do.
Golf, yeah?
I actually got my second hole-in-one recently, which I'm very, very, very proud of.
Gosh.
Yes. But anyway, okay, but apart from that,
got to
meet Trump, and Adrian also actually got to meet Trump because he went to Miss Universe, and at the after party, some of Trump's security called us over into his booth, and he just wanted to congratulate me on the competition and how I fared and whatever, and that he had his eye out on us, and then he met Adrian, and he challenged him to a game of golf. And Adrian said, he asked what's Adrian's handicap. Adrian said he's a scratch. He's like, oh, I'm also a scratch. And he said, okay, we'll play tomorrow for $10,000. Adrian's like, okay, let's do it. And then he turned around and he waved at one of his Russian friends and he said, who do you think will win this game, me or this young guy? And the Russian friend, I bet on you, Trump, $1 million. Oh, and Adrian said, I'll still play you. Wow. And then Trump turned around to me and he shook my hand and he said, you can marry this guy. So one day, hopefully.
Well, you got the President of the United States blessing for your wedding.
Does that...
Yeah, kid, that's...
Does that really...
Are you kidding? That counts. Hell yeah. You might not agree with all his politics.
No, I don't agree with all his politics.
You might not,
most definitely
you
not,
might not even like the guy, but he's President of the United States, and he said to you, yeah, you know,
you can marry this guy. I mean, Arjun had my blessing from Trump before he had from my parents.
There we go. What a win. That's a story.
Yeah. So was it
a
interesting?
Nice story to tell, huh?
Yeah. But it was an interesting experience, though, because Miss World is very, it's solely philanthropic, where Miss Universe is, it's got a business side to it, it's got an entertainment side to it, and it also has a philanthropic side to it, which more suits me and the everything that I want to kind of achieve.
It was an easy decision then.
Yes.
Okay.
And then got distorted horribly to the point where people said, oh no, she's not going because she had a boob job and she's got AIDS and she's
you
got...
You had AIDS?
Oh, people said...
No, they said you had AIDS?
People even wrote in the newspaper, I'm not going because I'm a transvestite. So I really had it bad for about 2 weeks.
Who would have said that? South African press?
Yes.
Jeez, there must have been some very mean people in the press at that point.
Very mean people at that point.
They said you were a tranny and you had AIDS and you just had a boob job.
Yes. And that's why I'm not going to Miss World. I mean, clearly.
Yeah, well, clearly. I've always thought you were a tranny.
Really?
No, of course not. Are you kidding?
You're so mean.
If you were a tranny, let me tell you something. If you were a tranny, then the rest of us are in a lot of trouble. Because that's the best ever. In fact,
wake
I'm
up with
calling
a pleasant
Caitlyn,
surprise.
I'm going to call Caitlyn Jenner right now for some advice if you are. And you know what? I don't even like the word tranny. It's it's transgender.
Yes.
And we don't have a problem with that here.
But I mean, so no, that's sure. That's all the kind of things that they said.
What an awful...
Why I didn't go to Miss World. And rather actually say, oh, this girl is quite rational about it. And she knows that if you can't be the biggest fan of Man United and Arsenal. You can't. Yeah.
Do you like going to certain... You mentioned the Maldives earlier, and I know you guys got engaged in Dubai, and you obviously just went, you know, on this tropic island of treasure thing. So where do you like to go? Beach holidays? Do you go other places?
We like both. We like both. I think both of us just have this incredible lust for travel because we can, and our lives are... We're very blessed and fortunate that we can take time off. Because I'm an entrepreneur, because Arjun's also an entrepreneur, we really dictate our own time. So we try and take out portions in the year in advance. That is just time to kind of escape everything and just focus on recouping and focusing on the two of us and kind of strategizing and planning the rest of our year and planning and dreaming ahead of businesses. And
what do you speak Afrikaans to each other at home?
Yeah.
Or English?
Afrikaans.
Nooit Engels nie.
Nee. Bova is a quarters.
Then you shouted him in English.
No, I don't shout.
Oh, come on. Everybody shouts.
Just use his middle name. Oh. And then he knows something's down.
All right. Is there anything that you really feel that you're missing in life right now? That is just eating a hole in you? Like there's, whether it's a work thing, whether it's a personal thing, is there something that's missing from your, what seems to most of us to be a really ideal life?
No, our life's most definitely not perfect.
No.
And
not criticizing.
No,
saying,
I know.
Like everybody has a gap.
No, right. I know. Yes, I do. There's definitely things that I still want to do. And that's why I'm doing it this year. It's
are those like achievements?
It's building
or experiences.
It's doing something that I've always wanted to do. It's starting a business in fashion.
Okay.
So that's one of my exciting projects that I'm planning on doing this year.
Are you going to have a clothing line, a store?
Yes, a clothing line.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really something that I've always wanted to do that, and I've been putting it off for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Because every time something else comes up and then I get too busy doing that and then the year's gone past again. So this year I've put my foot down and I'm definitely going to do it, and everything is just kind of fallen into place perfectly at the perfect timing. So yeah, that's something that I've been missing in terms of aspirations that I've had that I've really never seen around getting to. But apart from that, no, I'm very content and I'm very happy.
I've got an idea for a TV show for you.
What?
I just thought of this now.
Yes.
What we're going to do is we're going to get like a whole lot of prosthetics and fakes, and we're going to make you look like a real frump, like just a horrible human being. You're going to wear ugly dresses and you're going to sit on park benches and you're going to burp and swear at strangers that pass by. And I want to see whether people are, because I mean, I know that there's a personality that would shine through anyway.
Yeah.
And I want to test that.
Yeah.
I want to show that it isn't actually just about the fact that you're this beautiful human being,
yeah,
but that actually you can prove you're a beautiful human being if we make you look revolting and we put you in situations. I mean, I'm joking about the burping in the park bench, but if we sent you to a restaurant and put you in a big frumpy dress and made you look like you were 100 kilograms heavier than you are, and you just went up to people and started talking to them, I think that they'd like you just as much.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as someone who's very superficial a lot of the time.
If they speak to me, yes. But if they get to the point of actually speaking to me.
Yeah, but you see, this is the problem. It's like
that is a problem with society in general.
People, we judge each other, yeah, right? And we come to conclusions and there are stereotypes that are built. So I'm saying just as you have to deal with things because people assume she's pretty and she's ditzy,
yeah,
you have to deal with things too if people assume that you're fat and you're frumpy.
Yeah, that's true. I think there was a movie once. What was it? Gwyneth Paltrow played in it. And
yes, where she's fat.
Yes.
Yeah, she swaps bodies with someone, doesn't she?
Yes. Or you just actually see the person for who they are.
Yeah.
So you see if she's pretty from the outside, but like hard in the inside, you see it like in reverse.
Yes.
But anyway, so that kind of got me thinking because, I mean, I'm under no impression that looking the way I do, having had the positions that I've had in the past, kind of doesn't play to my favor in being treated a certain way. And that's also been something that was really something that I set out to kind of challenge myself with in Visha Poppy as well. Because if you go into an environment where people don't know who you are and they expect the same of you as they would any other person, I need to kind of break the stereotype that I have of expecting to be treated a certain way.
Mm.
And that was very refreshing to me because people think nowadays, okay, yes, you're a celebrity and you're all of this and people think you're pretty and you like ditzy and all of that. But there's certain stereotypes that you kind of attach to yourself, almost feel entitled to have because you've done X, Y, Z. And I think that's...
Really?
I think
Like what kinds of things did you attach and think you were entitled to?
No, it's not so much think I'm entitled to, but get accustomed to.
Okay.
It's not so much as thinking that...
But they become part of your personality unwittingly. You have to work against
it. Yes, you have to work against it. And I've seen it time and time again with different people in the industry where all of a sudden if you actually just have to do the hard work and the hard labor for something, it kind of just gives you a wake-up call to say, oh, okay, everything in life doesn't always happen a certain way. You have to still work hard. You still have to do the dirty work in some cases. And it's good to break not only the stereotypes that kind of broaden your horizons, but also to break the stereotypes that actually make your feet planted deeper on the ground. So, yeah, you can't just have the things broken down that count in your favor.
Well, if your feet are as ugly as you say, we've got to plant them deep in the ground.
Very deep, where the sun don't shine.
When last did you really feel sad and because this happens to all of us. So it's nothing
often
to be embarrassed about, but you cried on your own.
Often, actually. Huh? You know what? The things that make me sad, though, are things that aren't a scarcity in South Africa. So, for some hell no. You know, I don't know. I just have a deep compassion for people who struggle in life. So even if I see someone who is highly successful but so discontent with the person they are, those kind of things break my heart in life. So, yeah.
So you meet someone.
I encounter that often. Yeah. So, yeah, I really just actually have a, yeah, I see you. I cry a lot. Mm.
Well, don't be sad. We're very happy to see you.
I know. I'm happy to see you too. Aww.
All right. So it's an exciting year. There's going to be some more Visha Poppy.
Yes.
There's going to be Tropic Island of Treasure.
Yes. And I am going to kill it.
There's going to be a line of clothing.
There's going to be a line of clothing.
And there's going to, maybe in 3 years there'll be kids.
But for now, we'll travel, see the world, take everything off our bucket list and go on adventures.
Are you at all worried about getting old?
No.
Wouldn't it doesn't scare you a little bit?
No. Arjun tells me I'm the most beautiful when I get out of the shower. Okay, well, not because for obvious reasons, but when I have no makeup on, my hair's not done, or when I wake up in the morning and I've got like a puffy face. So I'm really not worried about getting old, because the only person I really actually want to look beautiful for is still going to think I'm the most beautiful. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
And I'm looking forward to the rest of aging, actually. The wisdom and all of those things that come along with it. Life experiences, reminiscing about, like,
well,
when
be,
you were young.
You'll be the hottest 70-year-old in the world when
oh,
you're
yes,
70.
Oh, yes, damn straight.
That's for sure.
Damn straight.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for coming.
Really good to see you again.
This is CliffCentral.com.